In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There were some big headlines the other day in the paper. Seems they found out why some Hollywood star or another died. A young man who had made a name for himself by starring in a particularly scandalous movie. He was an Australian, I think. Heath something or another. Well, he had been found dead in his bed, and then they found the reason why. And the reason why was that he had accumulated for himself a medicine cabinet full of prescription drugs. And he engaged, as many Americans do, in self-medication. I think I'll take a bit of this and a bit of that. He told his friends, they say, that he had a hard time sleeping. But it's very dangerous to medicate yourself, not only in the matter of drugs, but also in the matter of doctrine. How many of our traditional Catholics are there who, thank you very much, have figured out the question of the Pope or the question of the Church and end up committing sins against the faith or even in a state of schism? Very sad. And even for the direction of your own soul or the direction of your own family, never to ask for guidance or for advice, to be your own director, is, the saints say, to have a fool for a follower. Well, I only mention this dead actor because the headlines used to tell the tale, instead of writing out prescription drugs, use the old abbreviation I wrote to you about in the Lenten meditations for this week. That is to say, the RX, which of course is Latin, which is still very important in learning and in culture. Now the R, remember, stands for recipe or recipere, to receive. And the X stands for mixtura, the mixture. Because until about the 1920s, pharmacists mixed most of the medicine themselves, and sometimes they actually ground it. And that's why you see sometimes that symbol of a little pestle that's used for grinding herbs or making medicine. Well, of course, that's not done anymore today, because there's big money to be made in selling the ready-made pills, whether or not our current health situation is any better. That's another question. This Lent, though, as with every Lent since the beginning, Holy Mother Church envisages a health cure for us all. And thus I thought we would dedicate our Lent to the Holy Child Jesus, the doctor of the sick, the divine physician, who is at work now, diagnosing, prescribing, grinding and mixing the medications, and then applying them to us, sometimes doing surgery as well, all in order to make us well again. The Greek word for Savior, in the Latin it's Salvator, is Soter. It's the same as in German. That is to say, the word means not only the one who saves the soul, but also it means the healer, the one who offers health of body as well as of soul. And very often, our Lord will heal. He still does it today at Lourdes, say, the body first, at least for a while, and then the soul afterwards, to prove, as he did in the Gospels, that he is the Lord of all. And he has that divine power. What kind of a Lenten prescription is the divine physician writing out for all of us? Well, of course, there would be prayer. And, of course, there would be the deeds of self-denial and charity. But if you want to, in a way, you could reduce it all to one word. Fasting. Fast, fast, and fast. A bit like Our Lady at Lourdes, who said, penance. Penance and penance. But this kind of a fast is not fast. Our society is. I mean, fast food and fast results. It's a long, slow cure that we've just now started. It lasts for at least 40 days. If we give ourselves to it, though, it will bring us health in soul, but also in body. Remember, man is a creature composed, made up of body and soul together. And what the one does affects the other. This is an ancient theme throughout the whole of the Church's sacred liturgy, but it is extremely modern in its application today. Why, we Americans are killing ourselves by what we put into ourselves. How many people would enjoy pretty good health if they just watched what they ate and what they drank to avoid excess? If only they followed a sensible diet, they would be able to avoid many a disease. Today, the divine doctor comes to write out a prescription, an RX, for us all, for a desert cure. 40 days out in the desert, all of us, fasting and praying. Now, this divine physician remembers the Palestinian parable, "Doctor, heal thyself." So therefore, our Lord, first of all, samples, but more than that, he takes his own medicine. Desert isolation. We just sang it in today's gospel. The pharmakon. That's the Greek word, which is the origin of the English pharmacy. It means not only a place of healing, but also a process of healing. Our Lord's pharmakon is the desert, where he will fast from everything which is not God, so as to worship God alone, to depend upon God alone. The Lord thy God shalt thou serve. Him only shalt thou worship. God alone. That is the battle cry of the saints. Not family. Not food. Not followers or familiars who will do your bidding as you want it done. And certainly not fame, as Hollywood stars look for. No, none of these things. God alone. To the desert, then. That's a popular theme still today. How many people move to the Southwest each year, giving up our wonderful winter and this wonderful humidity in order to try to find some health by the dry air and the warmth of the climate. For the soul, the desert offers a relief from this world, from its noise and its people and its talk. Lent does offer release if only we are willing to fast from these things. So today, the divine doctor examines us, looks at us, eyes, nose, throat, and then he sends us to a specialist. He sends us to one of those eye, ears, nose, and throat men, that is to say, to God's own spirit. God the Holy Ghost is our doctor. He's the specialist. He checks out the eyes, the specialist does, the eyes. We see too much. Curiosity. We go back for a second look. Temptation. What does that lead to? Lust and pride and being a busybody and everything else. And its memory, the memory of one unguarded look, St. Jerome says, can haunt you for the rest of your life. your eyes. And then he checks the ears, because we listen too much. And I'm not even talking about television, the filthy shows that are still watched in some of our Catholic homes, or bad music, but I mean more particularly gossip. But did you ever consider the danger of listening to flattery? People still use it to get their will, and we let it go to our heads. And what about false doctrine? Some of you who don't know enough theology to put into a thimble, that's never stopped you yet from listening to or participating wholeheartedly into some kind of a theological discussion. And you'll weigh in with your opinion too, won't you? Ears need to be checked. Then finally, of course, the throat, obviously. The excess of eating and of drinking, but the excess of all of the sins of bad speech. Now, this specialist, like my old eye, ear, nose, and throat man, Dr. Baluyat, likes to do surgery. I had 3 sinus surgeries, and much good did it do me. Here I am today with all this problem. But this doctor performs surgery, and it does do you some good. That is to say that he cuts out distraction and temptation, which will leave you holier and healthier because you are closer to God. He has to do the surgery. It's emergency, lest we lose God this Lent. And so that we may be able to listen. To listen to what? To listen to God's will and to hear even the secrets of God. That's advanced work. That demands coming back for some therapy. But listen, unless you start listening in silence, how could you ever hope to hear the secrets of God? Our lives are so immersed in noise. The secrets never are heard or understood. And it's a shame. Now, how about your particular, your personal prescription from the divine physician for going off to the desert? For some of you this Lent, it could be aware. Come to church. Come to church more often. On a good day, it's fairly quiet here. It was awfully quiet on Ash Wednesday. And you can pray quietly and in peace at church, in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. You could make your stations. You could make a visit. You could pray a rosary, as well as to hear daily Mass. For others, it will be perhaps this desert visit. A when, that is to say, get up early in the morning before the family stirs and pray in the silence of the pre-dawn dark. Or late at night, if you're a night bird, why then, fly up to heaven a bit when everyone else has gone off to the land of dreams. But finally, this is my particular suggestion for this first week of Lent. For all of us, going to the desert could be a what? One thing that we need to do. With St. Ignatius of Loyola, he says that a simple examination of conscience made several times a day is a kind of a refuge in the desert. Do you ever examine your conscience? Outside of a couple of minutes before you go into the confessional? If you started examining your conscience, you would want to go into the confessional more often. You'd feel the burden of your sins, and it would be intolerable to you. You'd be surprised how many sins we can manage to make in a morning, a noontime, an afternoon, or an evening. Go to the desert. This is a hard, bitter medicine for us proud and independent Americans. This purging prescription, painfully difficult. So we might ask, is there a second opinion? Isn't there some kind of a pill that I could just pop and get the same effect? The answer comes in the words used by President Reagan's old friend, the Iron Prime Minister of Great Britain, Margaret Thatcher. She used to analyze a problem, and she would give a solution. And then people would start to object, and her response was always the same steely acronym. She would say, Tina. Tina? Tina. There is no alternative. And there isn't. It's Tina time, my dear friends. Prescription in hand, off you go, led by the Spirit of God to the silence of the desert. Off with that doctor who will accompany you and his nurses who are the angels. Off to be with God alone. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.